paid into Medicare for decades. Don't spend retirement limping. The Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. It's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
With John Landecker, and with us on the phone from Oregon is Jenny Nguyen, who is the founder and CEO of The Sports Bra. Good evening, Jenny. Welcome to Chicago.
Hi, John. How's it going?
It's going great. As soon as I saw Sports Bra, I'm old enough. Okay, let's just put it that way. I immediately went back to that World Cup game with Brandi Chastain. Mm-hmm. There, you know, I guess in soccer, with the male side of the game, if you score a goal or something like that, it's not unusual for the player to rip their shirt off. So she scores this goal in sudden death in the shootout, and off comes the shirt, and there's a black sports bra like nobody's ever seen one in their entire life. And the play, and you know, it's, she says, you know, it made the cover of Sports Illustrated. It was all sort of, it got a lot of coverage, but that was then. But when I saw the name of your establishment, it was just like, oh yeah, I think I get it.
Kind of a full cool circle
name,
moment.
By the way, the sports bra. I mean, I know
what
it is. I know what it is, obviously, but what got you to the point where you decided, hey, that's a snappy name for this establishment?
You know, it's kind of a, it's kind of an interesting story. I'm kind of a word nerd. I love like puns. I do a lot of crosswords.
Okay, I apologize for that. We've had some really, there's nothing wrong at your end, and actually there's probably nothing wrong anywhere except for in the atmosphere around here. We've had unbelievable storms, lightning this afternoon and into the evening, and I think it sort of messed up with our communications there. So we're back, and I'm happy that we are. Jenny Nguyen is the founder and CEO of The Sports Bra, which occurs to me is an anagram for bar.
Exactly.
So that's perfect. Is that where the idea came from?
Exactly where. I was, you know, in a sports bar with my friends trying to watch a women's game, and it's always been a struggle, you know, having to ask to have the channel change. Sometimes they would and sometimes they wouldn't. And then one day I was just really frustrated, and I was like, you know, the only way we're ever going to watch a women's game in like a bar is if we had our own place.
Right.
And, you know, like shortly after that, I was like, if we did have our own place, what would we call it? And to me, it was just, you know, a sports bar, a simple change of the channel would make all the difference. And so I took sports bar and I just switched two letters around, and it really, to me, it made all the difference.
I think it's classic. I think it's absolutely classic. Yeah, it does make the difference, but it also gets the message across immediately.
Exactly.
So how long have you been open?
So we opened on April 1st on 2022.
Wow.
Yeah, so we just celebrated our two-year anniversary.
And I guess things have been going rather well.
It has been going smashingly. I didn't know what it was going to be like. I grossly underestimated the clientele and the how people were going to receive it. I had assumed I was opening a bar for like folks like me and my friends, you know, hardcore women's sports fans. But as soon as the news hit that we were going to open, people poured out from the community. People who've never watched a lick of sports in their whole life came to support us. And the beautiful thing about creating space for a place dedicated to women's sports is you get all kinds of folks in there that maybe have never watched a game, and then they can become a fan, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that going around over the past few months with Caitlin Clark, first of all, playing for Iowa and about ready to play for the WNBA. I think a lot of people, well, it's proven by the television ratings for the NCAA women's playoffs and the Big Ten with Caitlin Clark in Iowa, that the ratings are astronomical.
Astronomical, exactly, through the roof.
Yeah. And venues are being changed and ticket prices are skyrocketing, and you're... Your timing is absolutely perfect. I was looking at the amount of games the Indiana Fever will be televised over the next few months, and boy, there's a lot.
Yeah, it's like four times as many as last season, even.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've got a pretty good thing going here in Chicago, too, with the Sky, with Angel Reese and Camila Cardoso. I mean.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
Not taking anything away from Caitlin Clark, that's for sure. But those two are.
Showstoppers. That's going to be some excitement. That's going to pack some houses. Yep, for sure.
Well, I would think that there might have been an. How do I put this? Finding events to watch, since they aren't up until now normally carried by, you know, the networks or maybe even SPN. Where did you find programming? I guess that's the question. Up until now,
yeah. I mean, so when we opened, a lot of folks were like, "Oh, it's about time a space like this, you know, exists." And honestly, we feel that way, but the what is on TVs hasn't really been accessible or readily available until very recently. Right. And even when we opened the doors in 2022, it was pretty difficult to find the content we needed for all the hours that we were open. So we kind of had to do a lot of digging, like searching different streaming services. We had to contact different leagues, teams. And, you know, it was really a lot of grunt work at the beginning to find stuff to fill our TVs. And from the get-go, I had told people that, you know, if there wasn't anything on and we couldn't find anything, that we would turn the TVs off, because it would send a message that here we are, a dedicated space for women's sports.
Yep.
And all we want to do is show women's sports. But if it's not available via network, cable, streaming, then there's no access to it. And that would say as much as showing a game. Well, so we kind of used it in both ways.
You know, you might be able to use highlights or rebroadcasts of
games, but it also it also would lead to the misconception that there is enough programming, which there isn't, or there wasn't at the time.
I understand. Yeah,
so it kind of helped turn the tide. But once the idea of the sports bra and our notoriety kind of got out there, then the tables were turned. Then we had network streaming services, leagues, and teams reaching out to us, asking us to show on our screens. So it's actually become a lot easier. And not just that, but because you know, networks and companies and brands, advertisers are all investing a lot more in women's sports, we're starting to see those media deals come through. And so it's no coincidence that, you know, audiences have skyrocketed with the accessibility of women's sports on TV.
So 2 years open and you're already ready to start franchising. How is that going to work?
Yeah. So from the moment we opened, we got a lot of interest from people from all across the globe, really, about what we were doing. And it was clear to me that when I opened the bar, I hadn't dreamed big enough for the sports bra. So it was clear to me that folks really wanted this space, not only that it was wanted in different cities, but that it's needed. And so we kind of, you know, we put expansion on the back burner while we obviously got up and running and trying to figure out how to run a bar. But once we kind of got that, we were just like, okay, how do we want to expand? And we looked at, you know, expanding as a company, which would be difficult and costly. And then we looked at the franchise model, which actually fits our mission a lot better. And our mission is very community oriented. And the franchise model allows us to find the people in their own communities to take our brand and develop it in the way that community needs. And so that to me feels a lot more mission aligned and community oriented. And so that's kind of how the dream of the franchise came to be. And it was a lot faster. All of this has happened a lot faster than I had penciled out 3 years ago. About 10 times faster than I had expected. But I'm so happy for it, and it's just clear that you know, the audience is there, fans are ready, people are ready for spaces like this to open up everywhere.
What's your background? Because you sound like you really know what's going on in the world of business and things of that. And by the way, you know, opening up a bar or bra or whatever you want to call it. There's no guarantee that that's a success. I mean, that's
absolutely.
The restaurant industry is one of the most iffy businesses you can get into. What's your background?
So I'm very risk averse, which is crazy to think about. But my only career has ever been in kitchens. I started out as a prep cook and then worked my way up to an executive chef. And so I've run kitchens on the other side of the wall, but never my own business and never anything right. on the front side of the wall. And so over the last 2 years, John, I tell you, I have been learning at a rate that I feel like is like I'm surprised. Like if you asked me 3 years ago if I would be able to comprehend what is happening now, I would like laugh and be like, you're thinking of somebody else. Because really, as a chef brain, you know, it functions one way, but a business brain is yeah. a totally different thing. And so I've been learning and growing a lot. But I have a great community. I have great advisors, mentors that have really, you know, the intersection of women and sports is very strong. Like people who love women's sports, that is a group of people who are dedicated and driven. And once they got a hold of the sports bra, I mean, this is a group of folks that will not settle for anything less than winning. And so I have a very strong support network behind me that has helped push and teach and grow the bra to what it is now.
You know, knowing you were coming on and reminiscing it in my age group, if you will, about women in sports, there was an event that occurred back in, oh boy, let me see, September 20th, 1973. It was called the Battle of the Sexes. And it was a tennis match between Billie Jean King and a self-proclaimed chauvinist, Bobby Riggs. He was 55, mm-hmm. she was 29. It got such a build-up. 50 million people watched it in the United States. 90 million watched it worldwide. I went back to see if I could get a clip from it. And I have one, but I don't need it now because it's sort of beyond the point. But what really struck me was the unbelievable sexist, chauvinistic content of the commentators. I mean, mm-hmm. it was, I think anybody who, you know, in the current framework of the life that we live now, if you go back to that era and listen to what these guys are saying as they describe this tennis match, it is just mm-hmm. jaw-droppingly horrible. I mean, wow. I mean, it put a lot of things in perspective, you know, because, you know, the women's side of commentary on sports has also exploded. I mean,
oh my gosh, absolutely.
Yeah. So you're in the right place. Hello, you're in the right place, the right time, to say the least. So, all the best to you. And do you have anything you want to add before we wrap it up? I appreciate you being with us. But is there anything?
Oh, absolutely. You'd like to Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I mean, I do feel like right place at the right time, but not only do I feel so grateful that we're like the bra is here now, but not only are we witnessing what like the trajectory that is atmospheric at this point, mm-hmm. but we're also a part of this movement. And so that in and of itself feels like something that I am just so proud of.
You're in Oregon, right?
Yeah, Portland, Oregon.
You know what? My nephew Will lives there. I'm going to call him up and tell him to go over.
Absolutely. Tell him to come over whenever you're in Portland visiting. Come by the bra. We'd love to have you.
I'd love to. Thank you, Jenny. All the best to you.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much, John.